Please take out your pew Bibles to follow the reading, which can be found on page 885 in the Bibles. We're reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, from heaven, there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved."
There have been some beautiful things happening in the church in the last few weeks as Len and Linda Butner have ministered to us in a ministry of prophecy. And I'd like to... I will share some of the things that have been happening and some of the fruit of that. But I wanted to begin today by just drawing back a few days before Pentecost and reflecting that there were many thousands of people that followed Jesus at different times. Many thousands of people had been blessed by the healing ministry he exercised, the deliverance, his teaching, sometimes 5,000, perhaps more at a time, and perhaps tens of thousands who connected with him and wanted to be with him at different times. But in the end, when he'd left them, when he'd ascended into heaven, it's only recorded that about 120 people stayed. So many people experienced great joy. They saw the miracles, they experienced themselves, but only 120 stayed for the power of God that Jesus promised would come upon them, the promise of the Father. He said to them, "Wait until you are clothed with power from on high." So that was a sort of a very distilled group of people. These were the few that waited for the promise of the Lord to be revealed. And I was thinking, as I was thinking about those 120, I was just thinking about what they must have given up to be waiting, because, you know, in life, you can't just take 10 days out to not do normal things. We're tied down by our work, our relationships, by school, by various commitments. What would it have meant for those 120 people to set aside the other things that had been pressing in upon them to stay with Jesus right to the end and then to wait, to believe and to wait for him? There was a sense of setting things aside, of being willing to, as it were, go for broke with what God was doing in their lives. And we know that they were sustained by joy, because that's reported in the account of the ascension in Luke's gospel, and the hope that they'd received from hearing Jesus speak. But they had to have been there to hear him. They had to be willing to be there at that last moment for Jesus. So that was a special group of people, really, that God chose. It's not a huge group of people, 120 people, that God chose through which to launch his church. And it's always been the same. He chooses a small number to do extraordinary things. I had the pleasure of meeting just recently with an Iranian man. He was an Armenian man. And his grandfather, back in the 1950s, a Christian in the Armenian church, had a very powerful encounter with the Spirit of God. The Spirit fell upon him. And soon after that, his whole family was filled with the Spirit, and they began Bible studies in their home. And many people came. And out of that movement of the Spirit 60, 70 years ago, a team emerged that later was ready to prepare the Iranian church for the revival now, in which hundreds of thousands, some suggest more than a million Iranians, have turned to Christ. But God was preparing for that 60 years ago through just one man, and then through his family, through a small group of people. God knew that he would need workers. He needed laborers in the fields, and he was preparing that. God can do amazing things through just a small number of people that are willing and open to receive his word, to receive his power, and to be available to him. And I really wanted to encourage you about that. I believe that God wants to do great things through this church. And I'm not one by nature to kind of over-promote things. In fact, sometimes people feel I under-promote things. I want to leave space in a way for God's glory to be revealed, for him to be famous and not us. But I really do believe that God has been preparing us for a time of expansion, of growth, of indeed of revival. And I wanted to encourage you about this. I don't have a lot to say today, because I want to leave time for the Spirit of God to move as we worship him and we have an extended time of worship. Any of you that were here last week, we had a wonderful season of praise after the service. I think we went on worshiping for an hour and a half as many people came forward to be prayed for. And praise God, Len and Linda's ministry has done a great deal in people's hearts. And I really want to encourage you that if you've been touched by what he said and shared over the last few weeks, that you hang on to that, you hold on to that, and that you run with that. I know people have received the gift of tongues. There have been people who've received clarity about what God is doing in their lives. There have been people who've been healed. God has been stirring people up, and I really want to encourage you to hold on to that. I wanted to share with you an example of something that God has done, which is very relevant to this message of Pentecost. And this is an email that Susie Ray sent to me. She said this: "When I was praying for Emmanuel this morning in my prayer time, one of the things that Len encouraged me to do is that when I sense a very specific direction of prayer for someone in my times of intercession, to consider sharing that with them rather than just seeing it as something to inform my own prayers." So Susie is a prophetic woman. You know, God speaks to her when she prays, and she has a gift of intercession. I remember years ago when I was praying once a week at 6 o'clock in the morning here, and I advertised it at the whole church, Susie was the one who turned up every week, week after week after week. And so what Len has said to her is, God has given you this gift of intercession. Maybe if you receive a word or a leading in prayer, why don't you share that with somebody and see what the Lord will do with it? So she said this: "I wanted to share with you what happened when I was praying for Emmanuel today, for your discernment as to whether it might be something to be shared." And she said this: "My sense was of God calling the congregation to throw down all other sources of luck or fortune or fortune-telling and all superstition." So this is about the Iranian congregation that we're involved in leading down in Dandenong, about 120 members. And they're all from a Muslim background. And she said this: that God is asking them to symbolically or literally throw these things down and stomp on them, and having stomped on them and rejected them entirely, I saw them being swept out, and the people standing as a congregation before God with undivided loyalty and undivided hope. And then I saw that there was a beautiful wind of blessing from the Spirit of God that's waiting and wanting to blow over the congregation. But the Lord is waiting for that moment, waiting for undivided loyalty and undivided hope. Now, the Iranians have many ambitions, and they're very driven people. And as I was reading this, I thought, this is just so true. They need more of God, but in order to have more of God, they have to set aside the other ways in which they've been trying to grasp onto success in their life. So I decided to preach this message at the church yesterday for Pentecost, and I spoke about the importance of having the undivided allegiance. In fact, of the 120 who set aside the other things that they were busy with in their lives just to be waiting for the Lord as Jesus has taught them to be. And I invited people to be like those 120, not like the thousands. And so I invited them to throw away the desires that they'd had, the techniques they'd been using, their use of magic or superstition or astrology or maybe reliance on money or ambition for their work or their pride or use of control, whatever it was that was holding them back. And we invited them all to stand and invited them to throw these things down. And we did. We just threw it down physically, and then I invited them to stomp on them. So they stomped on all those things, the witchcraft and the astrology and everything else. And they said, we're going to sweep it out. So we swept it all out. And then we invited the Spirit of the Lord to come. Come, Holy Spirit. And we had a really amazing, beautiful time in the presence of God. Very beautiful time. And a lot of things were happening in people's lives. Carver and I and others were just moving around and praying for people to be filled with the Spirit. And last night, around 8:30, from one of our enthusiastic young men, Pedram, I got an SMS saying, God has healed 5 people tonight. He'd been praying with one man who had a really damaged heel and couldn't rest any weight on it. It had been broken and it was hurting. And as he prayed for him, the man felt the heat of the Lord come upon him. And his leg was healed, and he was restored. But then later, I knew about that, but then later Pedram said to me, 5 people have been healed. And he said, I know of 7 people who felt the Spirit. And he said, I'm all hot and tingling. He's a lovely brother. So I just wanted to share with you the train of events. Just think about the train of events that happened there. Someone through whom the Lord has been working was encouraged by a word of the Lord to share that. And she did. She moved out. Susie stepped into what God had called it into. And out of that, and through discernment as we prayed about, we thought, yes, this is from God. And so we did that. We acted upon that. It would only have been possible if Susie had shared that with us. And out of that, people were healed. Lives were changed. There were Muslims there in the congregation yesterday as well. People's hearts were touched by the power and the love of God. And this is like the avalanche of grace, you know. It starts just with a shout. You can just cry out and avalanche begins because of the vibration of the sound is enough. And it's like that when the Holy Spirit moves. God can begin through one person, through one word, through one moment, and then you have a chain of grace as it extends in people's lives. And I really wanted to encourage you to step forward. When the Holy Spirit moves you, when God calls you, not to hang back. This is not a time for hanging back. One of the obstacles we face for some of us from an Anglo-Saxon culture is Anglo-Saxon restraint. I don't know if any of you watched the video of the wedding, but there was a few examples there when that American preacher was kind of waxing lyrical and you could see the embarrassment of the royal family. They were just like, you know, and they wanted to laugh because they couldn't cope with an unrestrained joy with someone who was just passionate. And we need to set that aside. That is, I don't know, it may be the Iranians, it's the witchcraft, but for us it's probably just, you know, the stiff upper lip. We stomp on the stiff upper lip. Whatever it is that's holding you back, that cultural restraint. These are, you know, some things in culture are beautiful and the Holy Spirit can transform culture and bless it. But some things need to be set aside, and sometimes for those of us, not all of us, for those of us from an Anglo-Saxon background, that kind of restraint, what will people think? Am I breaking a norm? Am I stepping outside the line? That can hold us back. I don't encourage you to be crazy, please understand me. But I do encourage you not to be restrained in a human way when God is calling you to be his person, to step forward. Pentecost was an amazing breakthrough. Everything changed on that day. We can focus on the tongues of fire, which were a sign of the fire of the Lord in their hearts, and also the languages that many people heard being spoken. And they were amazing miracles. But the greatest transformation is they began to preach the word of God boldly. And people began to be changed and impacted by that message. They were completely changed from being a broken, dispirited, fearful group who'd seen their Lord crucified, tortured to death, to being people who had a passion to share the living word of God. And that's the work of God in our lives. I heard from another church in Melbourne, it's a great church of faithful people, that their intercessors were praying this week, and someone shared that she believed that God is going to start revival here. And I just share that with you, not because I know for certain what God will do, I don't. But I really want you as a people to be ready when God moves. Because it's an image I often use, it's like surfing. When the wave comes, you really want to move at the right time to be on the wave of God. You don't want to be left back thinking, oh, I wish I caught that one. You know, because in the timing and the seasons of the Lord, you need to be ready. So that's my message to you today. There were 120 people on the day of Pentecost. They were ready. And they'd left some other distractions aside to be ready. And I want to encourage us to be ready, to have ready hearts for what God is doing and going to do in our hearts and lives. And give thanks for what he's done so far. We're going to worship the Lord. And, you know, as we worship, as we declare the wonders of God, God moves in our hearts. So I want to encourage you as you worship to be listening. What is God saying to you? How is God moving in your heart? What is he putting on your heart to do? How can you respond to him today? Be open. Maybe God will break you as he broke Tony and show you the depths of his compassion and concern for you. Maybe he will call you. Maybe he will release a fresh calling, renew your calling. Maybe you've been discouraged and you've been dispirited. And some of the things I've been saying, there's something that rises up in your heart and say, no, I don't dare to believe. I really just pray the Lord will release hearts, that the lid will come off, that, Lord, you would do a great work in us as we wait upon the Lord. Holy Spirit, come upon this church. Come, Holy Spirit, refresh and renew the face of the earth. Renew our hearts, Lord. We pray that the Holy Spirit of Pentecost, the promise of the Father, will come upon us and be at work in our lives as we worship you today in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. We just